Father, for every blessing and for every promise and for every answer to our prayers. So many answers to prayer. And Lord, we just ask that you bless our hearts and minds this morning as we open your word, Father God, and study this reminder for us, Father, that that even in the darkest places, your word does not return void. And especially in the darkest places where people are sick and tired of being sick and tired, Father God, it can be a fertile ground. And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you give us to spread the gospel and to bring that truth to those that really need it, Lord. And I mean, we all need it, but to those in trouble, to give hope and to give peace in some of these cities of sin, if you will. And we thank you, Lord, for this reminder today, for this promise today, and for your love every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So my sermon title today is A City of Sin. All right? And the reason for that is that's what Corinth really was about this time. Amen? It was a city of sin, and we'll tell you why here as we get into the text. But remember in our text from last week, Paul had made his way, we talked about from Berea, right, down to Athens by himself as he waited for Silas and Timothy, his co-workers. And remember, as he's waiting, he was witnessing. Can you hear me now? One of these days I'll get this battery thing right, I promise. But that's okay. That's just the devil trying to get in the way here. That's all. Get behind and save. It's all good. Or maybe we should just go back to the old-fashioned corded stuff, huh? That's an idea, right? So anyways, he was waiting on Silas and Timothy to come meet him. And so he was preaching and witnessing to everybody he came in contact with. And as he was speaking with some of the philosophers there in town, they invited him. Remember we said to this Areopagus, right? They invited him to go speak there. They wanted to hear what he had to say. And while sharing with these non-believers, I'm just going to yell to you guys, okay? Educated man, he would reveal to them that he would reveal to them about the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what he was going to reveal to them because they knew nothing about God or the risen Savior. Okay? They had, sure, they were worshiping, but they weren't worshiping the true God. Amen? And in fact, they didn't even know Scripture. Okay? So he was going to speak to them about things that they could relate to within their culture. I guess I can use this.
How's that?
And some of them, it says, would receive it and get it, right? Some of them were going to get it. And because when we witness and people start to connect with the truth that we're telling them, right? That's when we can drop some Jesus on them, amen? When they start to trust us and realize that that we're speaking truth, amen, and they can understand where we're coming from, then that's when we can connect better, right? And that's what we as pastors try to, when we preach, we try to preach so that we can connect with the congregation, amen? So then they'll be open to hearing the truth of God's word, amen? So our first verse says that after this, okay, after Paul was over there in Athens, he left Athens, it says, and he went to Corinth, okay? So we got the map back out again. Bring the map out for me. Next slide. There we go. Okay, so here's Athens right here, right? Here's Corinth, okay? So that's where we're at today. These were two historically important cities, okay? Athens and Corinth were very important cities. But Athens, these were, even back in this time, these were historic, okay? Athens had seen their better days, though, okay? That city had already seen its glory days, amen? But they were coming to an end. But Corinth now, they were just getting started, amen? They were just getting started, and Corinth was the region's center of commerce and retail,
Okay, so they had a lot of money in Corinth. All right? And because of that, what usually happens when you got a lot of money in a city? Right? Evil and corruption and, yeah, debauchery and all that stuff. Amen? Usually comes along with money, right? But so there was a lot of religion, okay? Pagan religion, all right? There was a lot of money. And one of the religions they had, one of the most popular in that city, it was the religion where they worshiped the Greek goddess Aphrodite. Okay, Aphrodite. So they had statues of her, and they were worshiping this goddess Aphrodite. She was the goddess of sexual pleasure. Okay? So that kind of tells you something right there, right? So we're going to see that this kind of worship would center around sex. So there would be male and female prostitutes in their temples and all over the city, right? So we try to make some comparisons to Las Vegas sometimes, right? But it was all over the city, okay? It was a city of sin, really. It really was. And as a matter of fact, it was a pejorative or a derogative term to call somebody a Corinthian, right? If they were like an alcoholic or if they were entertaining prostitutes, they'd say, oh, there goes that Corinthian, right? They would use it as a derogative term, okay? So sort of like the sin city of their day, okay? And we could say Las Vegas times five, right? I don't like talking about Las Vegas, but I don't go to Las Vegas, so I'm just saying. But then here comes Paul, okay? Here comes Paul. Never turned down a challenge, right? Paul comes walking into Sin City with his head held high, ready to preach God's word. Amen? And now, why would anybody go into a city or a region or even a neighborhood like that to share the gospel? That's the question, right? Why would we go into a place like that to share the gospel where we would think people would want to hear it, right? Well, the first reason is because Jesus died for sinners, right? That's the first and most important reason, right? Jesus died for sinners, and he wants us as believers to reach the lost, right? The Great Commission, right? Still going. Never stopped, amen? To reach the lost. Yesterday, we had our third annual amazing Thanksgiving dinner, and yeah, amen, and it was great, right? And thank you, everyone. We're going to do an official thank you later, but thank you, everyone, for everyone who served, amen? But, you know, it wasn't meant to be a dinner for the saints, okay? This wasn't a dinner for the saints. This was an outreach for the sinner, right? And that's why we do what we do, right? This was an outreach for the sinner. And no matter how far gone or where they came from, we welcomed everybody last night, right? We welcomed everyone here. And they felt welcomed, and we praise God for that. So we were loving all people to Christ. That's what we do here. And wow, what a turnout. Amen. And, you know, we say we had 150 people here. I think we counted 50 homeless people that we served last night. But the amazing part, the most amazing part, is that the other 100 were mostly servants. Right? It's the church. That's what this was about, too. It wasn't just about serving them, but it was about giving us an opportunity to be the family of God. Right, to be the hands and feet of Christ and serve and feel the joy from that. Amen? Because that's what we get from that, right? We feel a joy from serving others. And that's what God gives us. And the second reason is that just like the jails, okay, this was potentially fertile ground to witness. Okay? When you go into these bad neighborhoods and we're going to get more into that, but it can be fertile ground, right? Because people get sick and tired of being sick and tired. Amen? And so there's a dynamic, though, that goes hand in hand with a culture of immorality, okay? When a city or a culture or even a nation starts to live without morals to the extremities like the city of Corinth was, eventually they'll suffer the consequences, right? Whether it's a person, a city, a nation, whatever, eventually they're going to suffer the consequences. And the reason they will suffer is because we weren't created to live in sin, right? We as human beings were not created to live in sin. The devil might try to convince you that you were and that you're free to do whatever you want to do, amen? But we also know that's a lie, right? Now, sinning can be fun, and it can feel good for a time, but when you reach the point where it's too much, how do you know when you reach that point where it's too much, right? How do you find that out? When it starts to destroy your life, right? When it starts to destroy your life. It may happen the first week. It may take 10 years, but it will start to destroy your life, amen, in many different ways. First off, it takes away your joy. You know, you may think you're having fun, but it takes away your joy. Amen? Takes away your joy. Then you start to lose your family and your friends. Start to isolate, right? Start to shut people out. Then you start to lose your health, right? Start to get sick. Amen? We've all done that, right? We've all seen that too. And then everything you own, right? You start to lose everything you own. And eventually, if you don't stop living in that sin, it'll take your life. It'll take your life. I mean, we're all going to die, but it'll take your life prematurely. Amen? And it may take your eternal life, and that's the worst part, right? That's the worst part about it. And so Paul knew these people were in need of the gospel. Okay? He knew that. And he was going to enter the belly of the beast, if you will, okay? Because he knew that there was a lot of people that were going to be sick and tired of being sick and tired, right? He was going to give them hope. And that's why we witness in the streets and in the hood and in the jails and anywhere where there's lost souls, because that's where the gospel can be the most powerful message, right? The most powerful message. The picture I found of streets of San Francisco there. And so in USA Today, almost enter any city street corner, as we see apparent here even in Glendale and Phoenix, right? It can be fertile ground to start planting the seeds of faith, right? Because there's a lot of this, but we need to share the love of Christ with them, right? We need to share the love of Christ with them. And so Paul was going to share the love of Christ with these Corinthians, and guess what? Some of them would be changed, right? Some of them would be changed. God's word would not return void, even in this sin city of Corinth. Okay? It was not going to return void. And we know this because Paul would later write to the Corinthians from Ephesus. Okay? He would later write in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm sure you've all heard this scripture before. Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Speaking to the Corinthians, writing to the Corinthians as they lost their way. Amen? He said, do you not know that the wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were, he reminded them, right? That is what some of you were. Sanctified, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Sanctified. I love that word. Amen. Sanctified. That means we're becoming more and more like Jesus each day. We are all being sanctified when we're one with the Lord. Amen. When we live for God, we are being sanctified. And so there was hope, okay? There was hope for these sinners in Corinth. Just like there's hope for all of us today. God gives us hope. But the time is short. It was short then, and the time is short now. Amen? Maranatha. And it could be today. That's right. You see, a lot of these Corinthians, okay, they were living in extreme sin. And Paul was saying to them that if you continue to live this way, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. He had already taught them, right? He said, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so many of them stopped and confessed and turned to the Lord. It says that they were washed, right? Sanctified and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. That was the good news for the sinners then, and that's the good news for us sinners today, right? The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are never too far gone for God's grace and the forgiveness of our sins. Okay? The only unforgivable sin, they say, is the sin of blasphemy. Amen? Against the Lord. And that means that we've rejected God's gift of salvation. Okay? That we've rejected it, that we've hardened our hearts, and that we're ignoring the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen? So that's a choice that we make, right? That's a choice. That's the free will that we have, right? But 1 John 1, 9 says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. He will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Right? It's a choice that we have to make. Right? Choice that we make. All unrighteousness. We're never too far gone for the love of God. We just have to receive it. We just have to receive it. So we have these Corinthians living in extreme sin, if you will. And here comes Paul, preaching the gospel, unashamed, unafraid, and once again, some of them will respond and become children of God, right? And so Paul was in Corinth, okay? That's just one verse, okay? We got 17 verses. I'll get through it, though. Don't worry about it. Nothing but time. But the time is short, though. Okay, so verse 2. There he met a Jew named Aquila, right? A native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. How do we know that's true, right? How do we know that's true? We can confirm this historically by looking at the history books, okay? Because it says in 49 AD, which is this time, that Claudius Caesar banished all the Jews from Italy. And the reason he did that is because the gospel of Jesus Christ had somehow made it to Rome. Paul hadn't been there yet, amen? But the gospel of Jesus Christ had somehow made it to Rome, and the Jews were starting to come to faith in Jesus, right? But the Jews, the hating Jews, right, the ones that didn't want to hear it, the ones that refused to believe, they got angry, okay? They got angry about this, and they started a riot. Sounds pretty familiar. Imagine that, right? Caesar didn't like them having a riot in his city, amen? Caesar didn't like that. So history says that he was going to 86 all the Jews out of Italy. All right, you guys are all out of here. He kicks them all out. So Aquila and Priscilla, they were part of that group that got kicked out. Amen? They were part of that group, and the rest of that verse says that Paul went to see them, okay? So just a little back history on that. Paul went to see them. In verse 3 it says, and because he was a tent maker like they were, he stayed with them. He worked with them. They had something in common. Amen? They had something in common, and that was the word tent maker, right? They were tent makers. The Greek word, the ancient Greek word that is translated from tent maker means a workman of leather, okay? A workman of leather. So it can mean many things, right? A person who works with leather could do many different things. But Paul was an actual tent maker, okay? He made tents. And he used that income to support his ministry work, okay? And that's what tent maker means. Because he didn't want people to think that he was in the ministry for the money, okay? He was just there to spread the word. He didn't want money to get in the way. And in that day also, it was considered improper for a rabbi to receive money for teaching, right? So he had two strikes against him as far as trying to get money for being a pastor or a rabbi or a missionary, amen? So he had a job. He was a tent maker, okay? And the interesting part about today is that when you have to work a regular job to support yourself as a pastor, guess what they call you? They call you a tent maker, right? So if you got a secular job and you're a pastor at the same time, then they call you a tent maker. You know, it's hard enough work being a pastor, amen? But just think about how much harder it is if you got to work, you know, 40 hours a week and be a pastor. Amen? I could definitely see that would impact the mission of the church because it's taking the pastor away. We're already working 70, 80 hours a week. Amen? And now you're going to take him and have him have to work a job for 40 hours a week to support himself, right? But there are a lot of bivocational pastors in the U.S., a lot of tent makers. Amen? And they say that the average Sunday church attendance in the U.S. is 65 people. The average church has 65 people on Sunday. And a lot of churches even less. Okay? So not all churches can afford to pay a pastor a living wage. Amen? So there are a lot of tent makers out there. Churches have other bills too, right? They got, just like our homes, they got maintenance, they got utilities, they got employees, they got food. Food costs a lot of money these days. Amen? So there are a lot of tent makers out there, and I thank God that I don't have to be one of them. Amen? And I can focus most of my days on the church and on studying God's Word. Amen? Because that's what allows me to do my job. Amen? So thank you all in the church for supporting me, God's mission, and God's mission for the church. Amen? Because it means a lot for all of us, especially for God. And then verse 4 says that every Sabbath, he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade the Jews and the Greeks. And that reason word just means he was debating with them, right? He was debating with them. He was using God's word to debate, though, not his words. Amen. God's word was how he debated, and it was God's word of truth. Okay, when pastors are preaching, they should be using God's word of truth, not their feelings, and not their opinions. Amen. We're talking to people about God and the salvation of Jesus Christ. People don't want to hear your opinion. Okay. They want to hear the truth. They want to hear God's truth. And so he reasoned with them, and he was using the truth of the Word of God. Right? The truth of the Word of God. Remember in Athens, Paul had spoke the truth to them based on God's Word, not on his Word. Right? It was based on God's Word. When it comes to God's Word, our opinions mean nothing. Our opinions, especially if they go against God's Word, amen? They mean nothing. Because only the truth of God's word is what sets us free, right? So God called us all to reason, not only with others, but with him, amen? God calls us to reason with him as well. And I'm going to read you a verse from Isaiah 118 in the King James Version, okay? Isaiah 118, it says, "Come now, let us reason together, okay, saith the Lord. Though your sins may be as scarlet, they may be as white as snow. Though they may be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." So the Lord says, come reason with him, right? Amen? He calls us to reason with him as well, to be reasonable people, that he created us to be reasonable people. Amen? And in verse 5, it says that when Silas and Timothy had finally come to Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. You catch that? He said, Paul devoted himself exclusively to teaching. That means he was able to stop making tents, right? He was going to give 100% to his witnessing, okay? He'd be able to devote his whole week to delivering the gospel. And we have confirmation of that too. Okay? In another letter he wrote, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he said, "And when I was with you," this is later on, okay, speaking to the Corinthians, "when I was with you and needed something, I was not a burden to anyone." Right? "For the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied what I needed. I have kept myself from being a burden to you in any way, and will continue to do so." Right? This is confirmation again of God's word that we're reading today. Amen? Paul had a deal with these Corinthians in Corinth where he would not accept any money from them. Okay? He wouldn't accept any money, sort of like the rabbi rule, right? But he would accept money from other churches. Okay? Not many churches were giving him money, though, okay? In fact, the money that Paul and Silas brought to him came from another church, and we know which church because in another letter to the Philippians, he said, "Yet it was kind of you to share my troubles." Okay? More confirmation here. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out for Macedonia, not one church said, shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. Right? Except you only. This is proof that it was the church in Philippi that gave a gift to Silas and Timothy. And then just at the right time, okay, God's time, amen, they would show up. Right? Just at the right time when Paul needed to devote all of his time to preaching in Corinth, they would show up on God's time. Amen? And he would be unburdened by what had been. All right? And so this is why all churches should support their pastors. Amen? Churches don't pay the pastor for what they do. They support the pastor so he can do what he needs to do for God's kingdom. Amen? That's what it's. That's the difference, okay? They support the pastor so they can do what God called them to do. And that's be unburdened by having to make tents, okay? Or having to work another job. And so Paul is devoting all of his time to his teaching and preaching of the gospel. But once again, not everybody was going to receive it, right? Not everybody received it. Verse 6 says that when they opposed Paul, and became abusive, it says, he shook out his clothes in protest. And the Greek translation of that they opposed Paul anyways, is that they cursed him. They were cursing him. Amen? They were shunning him off. They were cursing him. I got this picture. This is him saying, okay, I'm out of here. Right? Shaking off his clothes was a common gesture of rejection, okay? Paul was saying, if you're going to keep rejecting the gospel message, then I reject you. And he would move on and say to them as he was leaving, your blood be on your own heads. I try to tell you, amen? Your blood be on your own heads. I am innocent of it, he said. And from now on, I'm going to go to the Gentiles. I'm going to do like I'm supposed to do and go preach to the Gentiles. And verse 7 says that he left the synagogue because Paul knew when to leave, right? Paul knew when it was time to leave, and he went, but you know, he wasn't scared yet, okay? He didn't go far. He went next door, it says, to the house of Titus Justus, a worshiper of God, right? He was just going to go somewhere where he wanted to be heard or where they wanted to hear him, right? But not all the Jews remembered. And they would reject, and they would reject Paul's message, right? They would reject his message. And verse 8 says that Crispus, the synagogue leader, and his entire household believed in the Lord. And many of the Corinthians who had heard Paul believed and were baptized. So Paul's starting to see the fruit, right? He's starting to see the fruit of his labor. And in this sin city, if you will, many were coming to faith. Praise God for that. And so once again, the crowds were getting bigger, and the Jews would again get jealous, and they were going to start to stir up trouble for Paul, okay? But this is where God comes in, amen? Paul had seen this before, and he knew it wouldn't be long until something blew up in this town, right? He knew it wasn't going to be long, and we believe that Paul was fearful once again for his life at this point. Okay? He was fearful for his life. You know, it's one thing to spread the gospel in the land of the free, right here in our country. Amen? It's one thing to do that, but for Paul, in this city of sin, it was dangerous. He was risking his life everywhere he went. Amen? It was dangerous, and he knew it. And so God knew that Paul was living in fear at this point. And it says that the Lord would visit him in verses 9 and 10. It says, one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. And he told him, do not be afraid. Keep on speaking and do not be silent. For I am with you and no one is going to attack you or harm you because I have many people in this city. Right? God had his own gang in that city, right? Amen. And so Paul responded, it says in verse 11, by staying in Corinth for a year and a half. He would stay for a year. That's a long time for Paul to stay somewhere. Amen? He would stay there for a year and a half teaching them the Word of God. This was one of Paul's longest stays as an apostle. and the longest stay on this journey, amen, at any city. His ministry was strengthened in the church because he was teaching them the Word of God. And what an amazing time it must have been, right, to be a member of the Christian church in Corinth, right, for those 18 months. I bet they had like 5, 6, 7 services every Sunday, right? Couldn't get enough, amen? God had given him the courage to preach his word unashamed and unafraid, and he could do the same thing for us, right? Same thing for us, whether it's at our jobs, in our homes, anywhere, amen? We can all praise God and preach his word. And so praise God. Paul would trust God. He would stay there for 18 months and keep on preaching, right? But, our last 5, 6 verses here. Verse 12 says, while Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews of Corinth made a united attack on Paul and brought him to a place of judgment. They weren't going to give up, right? They weren't going to give up. This man, they said, they charged, is persuading people to worship God in ways contrary to the law. I guess they didn't know that God was a law, huh? Just as Paul was about to speak, it says, Gallio said to them, if you Jews were making a complaint about some misdemeanor or serious crime, it would have been reasonable for me to listen to you. But since it involves questions about words and names and your own law, settle the matter yourself. Why are you bothering me with it, right? I will not be a judge of such things. Who does that remind you of that's speaking? Who? Pontius Pilate, right? Sure does. Reminds us of him, huh? He's like trying to wash his hands of it, right? So he drove them off. Then the crowd turned on Sosthenes, it says, the synagogue leader, and they beat him in front of the proconsul. So they're still trying to get his attention, right? They're going to beat the synagogue leader. And Gallio showed no concern whatsoever. He's like, whatever, I don't care. Amen? We see that Paul's opponents couldn't stop him from preaching, obviously. So now they were going to try to get him into legal trouble. Right? They're going to try to get him into trouble. They would approach the proconsul and try to get Paul arrested for his preaching. Right? Sounds pretty familiar in the world today. A lot of people go to prison for preaching around the world. Thanks be to God, very few of them are here in America. Amen? But right when Paul was about to defend himself, Gallio would say, listen, why are you trying to get me involved in this? This has nothing to do with Roman law, right? Nothing to do with the Roman government. This is a religious argument between your own people. And he would separate himself, separate the church from the state. Amen? That's what he would do. And that's what we're called to do today in the U.S., right? Thanks be to God for that, too. This was Gallio, it seems, standing up, okay, for the freedom of religion. That's what it looked like, right? But it was just him really doing what he wanted to do, because then we're going to see that he would turn on them, okay? And he would do an evil thing, because it says in the last verse that when the crowd, which was the Greeks, amen, when they turned on Sosthenes, who had replaced Crispus as the leader, because Crispus became a Christian, amen, of the synagogue when he became a Christian. And then they would beat Sosthenes right there in front of the proconsul, but the proconsul would show no concern. No concern whatsoever. Amen? Spurgeon said of this proconsul, he said, it was his duty to let this good man alone, but it was not his duty to allow the Gentiles, on the other hand, to begin beating the Jews. Right? He should have done something about it. Amen? So Paul had settled all this, and he continued on his work in Corinth. And he would complete those 18 months of service. Okay? They would leave him alone because of the proconsul. He would complete his 18 months of service. He would build a church, a powerful, a strong church. Okay? And he would leave a congregation in charge. Okay? 18 months he was there. And they say that Paul's preaching may have converted as many as 150 Corinthians. Amen? And by the time he wrote them their first letter, that's what they say. There was probably about 150 saved people in Corinth. And so whether you're in a city of believers, this is the point, and morality, okay, or a city of sin, we're called to preach the same message. Doesn't matter if we're in Scottsdale or Fountain Hills or South Phoenix or West Glendale, right? We're called to preach the same message of truth. Unashamed and unafraid, because the Lord is with us. He's with us too, amen? He's with us. He's got his people here too, right? Right? So he's with us. His people are everywhere. May we all be sowers of the seeds of faith in everything we do. Like I said, at work, at home, at school, wherever we're at, may God always bring the increase, even in a city of sin. Amen? Because he will. We just got to keep planting those seeds. Amen? So God's peace be with you. Keep planting those seeds. And know God is with us. Amen? He's protecting us. He's giving us the strength. And he's giving us the peace. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for this reminder that you got our back, Father. You're watching over us. You're protecting us. You're providing for us. You're giving us the wisdom we need. Lord, we thank you for every opportunity that you give us, Lord, because it brings joy to our hearts to serve you and to serve others. We thank you that we can gather here as a family of God, pray for one another, praise you, give you all the glory in everything we do. But mostly, Lord, we thank you that we have that free will to live forever with you and to teach others the same. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.